Psalm 41 is where we are tonight. And verses 1 to 4. Let us read some verses, few verses, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter's second letter, and in chapter 1 from verse number 16, we shall read to the end. 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse number 16 to the end. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. But we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation or any private origination, man's imagination. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Eternal God, most holy, most high God of Israel, we again are conscious of the need to be led by that Holy Spirit into our understanding of the Holy Scriptures. And we pray that we would have understanding in the Scriptures so that we have the understanding of Christ. And to know Christ is the beginning of knowing God and knowing ourselves and knowing the reality and the meaning of life and death and heaven and hell. And as we think about these things that the Scripture emphasize as of first priority, help us, we pray, to have these priorities in our own lives. We are conscious that so often other issues come in. The world is full of issues. The world is full of interesting things happening every day, interesting conversations, interesting people, interesting events in the history of the world, interesting discoveries and interesting new inventions. And all around us we are mesmerized by the magnitude and the multiplicity of interests, and each new day adds to the appeal of so many other appeals. We give thanks that the gospel is unchanging, And while it is a core message of truth that is accomplished and recorded once for all, it is a word that is old but ever new, always adaptable, always seen to be suitable for all circumstances, for all cultures, for all the possible experiences of spiritual life. We cannot think, O Lord, of any situation into which we will enter concerning which the Scripture is silent. And so we pray that we would always listen, even sometimes to the old, old story, but remembering that it is always adapted to new times. And so help us to raise our voices this evening as we give thanks for such a revelation that Peter was willing to write about and live in it and die for it. And we know that the apostles, they knew what they had seen and heard. They knew not simply what they believed, but whom they believed and why it was that they believed. They knew that Jesus Christ was alive. They knew that his death was a sin-bearing atonement. They knew that his life was a representative, sinless life. They knew that his resurrection is the pattern and the pledge that because he lives, we shall live also. And they knew that he was living in heaven, never to die again, and coming again, and everyone will see him, and everyone will hear him, and everyone will have with him to do. So as we gather here this evening, help us to be thankful that we are part of the Christian community. We pray for the world around us. As always, we are concerned. We are saddened. We are sickened. We are, as it were, distraught. We are distressed. We are so often even deviated away from the main things because all the things around us clamor for our attention. And so help us to concentrate upon the Word this evening. And above all, to concentrate upon him who is the Word made flesh, the Word of God, the meaning of God, the Logos, the one through whom God speaks finally. This is our prayer, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to read now in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading from the beginning of Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. And from the beginning of the chapter. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and leads them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller, no disinfectant or no washing powder could white them. And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he knew not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save only Jesus only with them. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying within themselves, questioning one with another, what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? And he answered and told them, Elijah verily cometh first and restores all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elijah is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they wished, as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he takes him and tears him, and he foams and gnashes his teeth and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried out, rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come unto the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. And so on. And we are continuing in Psalm 41, verses 5 to 9.